You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday from here in Indianapolis. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground here. I'm standing in the end zone at Lucas Oil Stadium for day one of Big Ten Media Days. It was the day in which Michigan went. So here we go. It was a big day. You had Jim Harbaugh go. You had four players. And it was very interesting in the sense that, you know, obviously you have the season starting. Everything is starting to go as this is the beginning. This is the beginning of college football. So very excited that Michigan is finally about to get started here. So let's get into it. The things that I kind of took away. Later we're going to have Trent Noop, who you might know from being a regular one of the leaders and best from the mailbag who now writes Wolverines Wire. He is going to join us for the very first time, discuss his thoughts, his takeaways from today, Big Ten Media Day with Michigan. But I want to talk about some things that obviously weren't the part of what he's going to discuss, because I spoke to Joel Klatt earlier today, and I think that is something that we should just share in the entirety. So you know what? This is what Joel Klatt had to say in my annual, because we do it every year. I've been doing it ever since, I think, 2017, my annual discussion with Joel Klatt. Here is what Joel Klatt had to say about his expectations for Michigan. All right, Joel, so we do this every year.
Yeah.
And last year you had said that you thought that Michigan was going to be a lot better than a lot of people were giving credit for. And you talked about the offensive line, if it kind of came together, that Michigan would have a shot, obviously.
Yep.
They did
because
of that. What do you look at now this year as far as Michigan's attitude?
The exact opposite side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Really confident in what I think Michigan can be offensively. Might be one of the more skilled offenses in the conference outside of maybe Ohio State. I think that they can be explosive offensively. Probably a bit more dynamic than maybe they were even a year ago. The question for me is, what's their defensive line going to be like? You know, when you trying to replace Ojabo and Hutchinson is not easy, obviously. And what they were able to do under Mike in his first year was really good. So with Coach Minter, I'll be interested to see what the defense does, because in a large sense, I think that they will go as far as their defense allows, because their offense is going to be, you know, as good as any in the conference, maybe outside of Ohio State.
Now, one of the things that when you talk about the offense, we're looking obviously at the quarterbacks, and I won't get to that momentarily, but one of the things that you said to me before the Wisconsin game last year is you pointed at Donovan Edwards and you said, that kid's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about why you believe that and what kind of impact you think he'll have this year?
Probably good for Michigan in this sense that I don't think Donovan's getting nearly the love or hype in the preseason, maybe until now, that he should. I think that he's a dark horse Heisman contender. I think he's a dark horse offensive player of the year in the Big Ten. And primarily because I think he's about as complete as they come for a young player in particular, even last year as just a baby, right, when it comes to experience. He caught it really well out of the backfield. You saw that come to fruition in particular against Maryland in that game. The screen passes that became more prevalent after Blake left with his injury, in particular in the Big Ten Championship game, he's really good at that. But he's also a great runner of the football. I felt like he showed signs outside of the tackle box, inside of the tackle box. So while missing Hassan Haskins is hard, I think that Donovan could be a more complete player, maybe not quite as powerful of a straight-ahead runner, but close because of his size, and yet he gives you the element of explosiveness, of the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and that 1-2 punch with him and Blake as a combination, I think, is as good as any out there.
Now, obviously, you being a former quarterback, Michigan has what a lot of people are considering to be a quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
Cade McNamara, J.J. McCarthy. What are your overall thoughts about how that might look when it comes to the season?
It's so fascinating because last year, my thought during the course, and I may have told you this, but my thought during the course of the season was that JJ was the player that would eventually have to take them above where Cade had them. And I thought that they were going to have to go to that point in order to beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten championship game. And that didn't come to fruition. But the reason was is because the defense is what elevated them. Aiden's game went to a totally different level. Ajabo, which was kind of an unknown commodity at the beginning of the year, even in the first few weeks, David Ajabo became a massive threat and weapon on the defensive side. So because the dominant defense started to elevate the play, they didn't need the offense to transform. So what they were able to do is, you know, I think they only threw, what, three passes in the second half against Ohio State or something like that. They were able to kind of go back and be like, okay, we can be a conservative team, have Cade be our quarterback, and go win. And that might – Cade, I'm sure, would think that that's a knock, but that's what I thought. This year it'll be interesting because I think that they are going to need the offense to be the catalyst, to be – at some point this year they're going to have to win a game 45-42. Mm-hmm. I just, like, I think that that's going to happen. Is Cade the guy that can take you to that point, or is JJ the guy that is going to have to be there with his ability and playmaking ability? So I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I think both of them are really talented players. I think JJ is probably just more dynamic, but Cade is a winner, and he didn't turn the ball over. And one thing I know about Jim is he really wants a quarterback that he trusts as it relates to turnovers. And Cade was certainly a guy that was safe with the football and didn't make mistakes, and I know that Jim loved that.
Now one more on the offense.
It's a long word salad there on the quarterback issue. I wish I had a better answer.
With the offense that you know we saw in 2020, Michigan had a little bit too much when it came into the running backs room, so they almost didn't even go with it. How do you balance when you have so many different receiving playmakers? Obviously, they have a loaded wide receiver room, which I personally feel isn't getting talked about enough.
Yep.
And you've got the tight ends as well.
Well, Ronnie's back. Mm-hmm. He was their best. He was arguably their best offensive player to begin the year, and then he was just gone. And Drell shows up in that Michigan State game. He's a fantastic player. Eric is, I think, as good as any. This is why I think their offense can be, you know, special. If you worry about production from individuals, I think you're worrying about the wrong thing, right? And Ohio State should be the case study in this. Guys can get their touches. Guys can get their yards as long as they're working towards a singular goal and not an individual goal. I think that it can work out. And this is an offense that I think can produce on an extremely high level, as productive of an offense as Michigan has maybe ever had.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you expressed obviously the concerns about the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But where is there any area there that you're confident in? Last year, you were really confident in the defensive front.
It's so unknown because of the change in coordinator. You know, like if Mike was back, I would have a better feel for just like his philosophy, his defensive structure, the returning players, what I knew was going to be the strength. It's a real unknown, to be honest with you. I don't know exactly what to expect from that defense. You've got new personnel, you've got a new coach. I know they're probably not going to try to change a lot of things from a schematic standpoint, but his fingerprint's going to be different. So I'm not sure what I trust on the defense. That doesn't mean I don't trust anything. I just don't know yet. And I think that's something that will have to come to fruition early in the year.
Now, the Cleveland.com poll came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they had Michigan second behind Ohio State in the East. It kind of feels to me like for a team that's kind of running it back, you know, that you bring back so much offense, obviously there's questions on the defense. Michigan isn't really looked at as being a potential, even though some of the polls have them, you know, relatively high in the preseason. They're not getting talked about as being that potential team that can go again to the college football
playoff.
What are your thoughts about where they could be this year?
I think the toughest part is that I do think, like, when you look at Ohio State, I'm going to have them number two in my overall poll. They've got questions on the defensive side as well, obviously, but their returning offense is pretty dynamic, in particular at the quarterback spot. And with Ryan back calling the plays, it's easier to put Ohio State as a favorite with their personnel, the way that they've recruited. When you miss Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, that's a big missing component because of the importance that defense had. So I think Michigan could absolutely go out and win the conference. There's no doubt. And at the same time, you know, it's not going to be easy. I don't think that they're being overlooked necessarily, primarily just because of what Ohio State is returning and where they return it.
Now, last one for you. Kind of did the same thing last year. Michigan returns this time to the college football playoff if blank.
If they've got it's on the defensive side. I just don't know what the standard is, really, because I don't know exactly how explosive their offense is going to be. If they've got a top 25 defense, then they're going to have a great chance to win the conference, win the division, and go back to the playoff. If they are outside of that top 20, top 25 defense, it'll get a little bit dicey.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. The Donovan Edwards part is prescient. I want to get to bring in Trent so that we can discuss what he took away from Michigan and what happened in Big Ten Media Days today. Before we transition to hopefully a guest, Jake Butt, who we'll either have here or we'll do it remotely. Don't know exactly how that's going to work. We're trying to figure that out still. So stay tuned. But before we go, and yes, we're doing it this way here. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. You ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That is right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite cookie dough chunk. Puffs have a light and chewy texture. Real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Y'all know how much a big fan of Built Bar I am. I know you will be too. So it's all of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff, I swear I can't say that. I don't know why. It's all covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they are healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. What's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You are going to love the new cookie dough chunk. See, I told you I can't say it. Puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or even need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. It's Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your next order at Built.com. All right, we are back, and finally, after being one of the leaders in best, he stopped asking questions once he could text me directly, which is why he is only honorarily that at this point. Ladies and gentlemen, Trent Noop, Wolverine's Wire, formerly a regular question asker on the Michigan mailbag. He is here for his very first Big Ten Media Days. So first off, Trent, what do you think? How was your experience here witnessing this environment for the very first time?
Well, it was pretty surreal, to be honest with you. I didn't really know what to expect coming into it. But seeing all these big-time analysts and reporters, I met Jake Butt. He's my father's favorite, one of my father's favorite Michigan Wolverines of all time. So that was really cool, getting to talk to people, meet people, listen to the different coaches, players talk. It was definitely very surreal, and I can't wait to keep doing it.
Well, you're only here for day one. You're missing out on the day two, which has Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State. But you did get to see Michigan. What, you know, this is really putting you on the spot here. But what is the first, like, when you can think of, like, what the first and foremost thing that comes to mind of something that was said by either Jim Harbaugh or one of the four players, what was your biggest thing or takeaway, quote, any of that type of thing?
One of the biggest things I thought was interesting was the talk of Mike Sainristil. Sainristil moved over to defensive back this
you
spring.
Mean talk about Mike Sainristil, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because
yes.
I was going to say, if you talked
to Mike
Sainristil. Yeah, we didn't
talk to Mike Sainristil.
Then you were part of a different Big Ten media days than I was.
Yes, the players were talking about Mike Sainristil. But just the fact how much he's caught on to corner so quickly. Now, granted, he played corner in high school, but it just sounds like he's ready for day one. He has the potential to start day one as well. But not only that, Cade McNamara was talking about how he can play receiver and corner this year. So it's going to be intriguing to see how he does both of them.
It will be interesting. I think my biggest takeaway is something that constantly was being repeated over and over again. And that was players saying that they started with Cade McNamara, but DJ Turner also said the same thing and said, talking about running things back, that they don't want to be complacent. The fact that we started getting multiple players saying the same thing, it really told me that, okay, that seems to be a part of the interior messaging, the part of the leadership and the idea that in order to be able to go ahead and repeat, to be able to beat Ohio State again, to be able to win the Big Ten, to be able to do that, that they will have to make sure that they aren't just sitting there resting on their laurels, which is the exact thing that you want to hear about the team. I asked Jim Harbaugh the same thing when we were at the podium session to close out the day. Here is what he had to say about that.
Jim, when we talked to several of the players, all kind of said the same thing, that their focus this year was to not be complacent. Has that been a theme going through the team this year, and how do you kind of work against being complacent after having had the year that you had last year?
Yeah. Well, I just think so many were a part of last year. So many put in the same work that, all the players that aren't here anymore. I mean, some of the stars like Aiden Hutchinson and Hassan Haskins, that whole great group of Dax Hill and Stuber and all those great players like Vastardis. There's a lot of these players that did the exact same thing that those players did. Now, maybe they did it a little bit, at a leadership level. And our guys got to see that, got to be a part of that, and got to see how well it paid off, both for the team and for each of those players individually. Why wouldn't you want to do it exactly the same way? It's a great template.
All right, so obviously that's really, really good. But the other thing is the goals. They talked about the goals, and we heard it multiple times from Jim Harbaugh. We heard it at the formal press conference. We heard it when he was at the podium session. We heard it from some of the players. This idea that their goals, they don't want to just beat Ohio State. It's about beating Ohio State and Michigan State in the same year. Mm-hmm. And they're including the college football playoff, Big Ten college football playoff in that. But I think that is an interesting goal to have in the sense of how do you top last year? Last year you beat Ohio State, you win the Big Ten. That kind of feels like the upper echelon. And to say, we want to win a national championship. Not saying it's a pipe dream, but mm-hmm. it's a lot easier said than done. You can control a little bit more by winning in the Big Ten. What were your thoughts when you started to hear that type of, for lack of a better term, rhetoric coming from Michigan, that they want to make sure that they beat both of the rivals in one year?
I thought it was pretty intriguing because we haven't really heard that talk before. Mm-hmm. Even Ohio State, arguably Michigan's biggest rival, that wasn't talked about. And now Jim Harbaugh is up there on the podium in front of a national audience talking about beating both rivals, winning the Big Ten, and then also winning the national championship. Now that Michigan finally won a Big Ten championship and got to a conference or a college playoff, it's pretty awesome to hear that the team has those goals. And I believe if they beat Michigan State and Ohio State in the same season, it's almost a foregone conclusion that they have a good enough team that they're probably going to make it to the Big Ten championship, possibly win it, and then get back to the college football playoff once again.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to think back to the last time that they beat both. I think that would be, was it, I don't even remember, I can't remember, because last time they had beaten Ohio State was 2011. I don't remember 2003 well enough. Did they beat Michigan State in 2003?
I was pretty young then. I don't remember either, to be completely honest.
You know what? When we're at home doing the podcast, then this is how we end up doing it here, is we go on the computer. But and I know there's plenty of you out there right now that are like, they know exactly.
Yeah, they know the answer.
you know it. I am not an encyclopedia of knowledge. I don't remember what happened this morning. So it's a little bit more difficult, but let's see here. Let's double check here. That doesn't tell me. That's not helping. Here we go. Yes, that was the last time. 2003. It's been 19 years since Michigan's beaten both in the same year.
Well, I would say Michigan's due to have that happen again.
Yeah.
And I believe they have the talent to do it. I mean, offensively, you have basically all of your skill position guys back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have another year of experience for Cade. You have JJ. Whoever starts there probably deserves a start, more than likely. They beat out the other guy. And you have Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, arguably the best 1-2 punch in the Big Ten. It could be a really good year for Michigan.
And I want to get to Donovan Edwards here in a moment. You heard what Joel Klatt had to say. I spoke to two other people about Donovan Edwards. One of them has no relation to Michigan. And since I just got a text, I was able to see it while I was doing the whole thing. Jake Butt's going to join us tomorrow instead, because he has departed the building. So we are mad at him, but we congratulate him on his getting the Big Ten Network job. But we will continue. We'll talk about Donovan Edwards and some of the other things here momentarily. All right, so we are back with Trent Noop, segment number three here. And before we start to get to talk about Donovan Edwards, I asked Jim Harbaugh about what his thoughts about Donovan Edwards and what he can bring to the table. So let's listen to that. But then I asked someone else who Donovan Edwards had a really good game against. I asked Mike Loxley from Maryland what he saw in Donovan Edwards and what was allowed him to be able to have that giant day. So watch both of them, or listen, depending on how you're checking this out, what they had to say, and we will come right back and talk to you about that momentarily.
We've heard you talk year over year about how players, they make their biggest improvement from game one to game two. I feel like that's kind of a similar sentiment going from year one to year two. With that in mind, how have you seen Donovan Edwards make the biggest strides, or what strides has he made, rather, from last year to this year?
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, freshman year to sophomore year, there's a real opportunity for a huge jump, right? Because you're just doing everything one more time. You're doing everything again for a second time, unless you get into one of those sophomore where you take a step back and start reading your own press clippings or get a big head. I don't know. Donovan Edwards, he's one of those outliers, one of those just keep doing you, Donovan. That's all I can say to Donovan Edwards. I mean, just everything he does, every way he does it, every way he attacks things, just his personality, just being around him. I mean, can't have any more favorite player than Donovan Edwards. I mean, he's one of those that comes along every so often, every generation, so to speak. But he's super special. He'll do something. I don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to do. He may tell you what he's going to do, but I mean, he could be, you know, rolling out, throwing some pass 50 yards downfield on a dime. Making some cut, making some catch. I mean, he can literally do it all. Incredible balance, speed, vision, toughness, and he's, you know, he's just one of those guys. We got a bunch of them. We got a bunch of guys like this. They're my favorite guys. You know, they're the guys. They're the dreamers. You know, they just dream big, and They're the ones that usually make it in this business.
All right, so really interesting stuff. Boxley obviously seemed very reticent to want to answer that. I mean, obviously, I know it's awkward when you suddenly get, and I did this to every coach except for PJ Fleck today. Went up to every single one of them. I'm like, tell me about Michigan. And some of them took it better than others. I think that Loxley certainly didn't want to talk about it. But hearing Jim Harbaugh say that that's his favorite player, like when you hear that and when you hear what Joel Klatt had to say about being a dark horse Heisman candidate, how realistic do you think that might be?
I mean, we saw last year what he's capable of doing. Not only can he throw a touchdown pass in the Big Ten championship game, but the dude can catch the ball on the backfield. We know he's a good running back. He was a five-star recruit. So he definitely has all the capabilities. The only thing that makes me wonder about the Heisman comment is you have Blake Corum. Blake Corum was Michigan's best back to begin the year last year. And then injuries happened, and Hassan Haskins took over and became Hassan Haskins. But, I mean, Dominic Edwards definitely has the capabilities of that. It just will happen.
And I think it's certainly, he's the one that I am the most hyped up about. You've heard me say, and I'll reiterate here, because if you haven't listened to me for a long time, let me bring you back to this story. I remember speaking to, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and share it, because he's not there anymore, although it's worse because he's at Michigan now. Ron Bellamy told me back when he was the high school coach at West Bloomfield, that Ohio State was recruiting, when they were recruiting Donovan Edwards, they made it very clear that they wanted him more than Travion Henderson. Didn't end up going that way because they had gotten Evan Pryor to commit. Travion Henderson, you don't turn down a talent like that when he says, I want to come commit sight unseen to Ohio State. But they still kept on trying to recruit Donovan Edwards, even though they had kind of burned those bridges, right, through various things. And yet, the whole thing with that was Michigan wanted Travion Henderson and Ohio State wanted Donovan Edwards. So that kind of tells you what Donovan Edwards is capable of. And yet we keep on hearing Travion Henderson, best back. We haven't really gotten that opportunity to see Donovan Edwards aside of that Maryland game. Now, I think the big question is what do they end up doing with the fact that they do have those two backs? So that'll be the interesting thing. Last thing before we depart is Jim Harbaugh did confirm, although it was kind of in a weird backwards way, that J.J. McCarthy will be the backup going into camp as Cade McNamara will be the starter. But he also said multiple times today, again, if you want to get into the cliches that continue to happen throughout the day, as happens every year, just like Jim Harbaugh has like three or four things he wants to say every time. And one of them was Cade's going to be very hard to beat as the starter. JJ is going to be very hard to beat as the starter, but he did say Cade McNamara will be our starter day one, but JJ will have an ample opportunity to actually take that over. So what are your thoughts on the way that they talked about the quarterback battle that's impending? I mean, they did bring Cade McNamara here, so kind of hard to imagine that they're going to bring someone to Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days and say, hey, you're going to sit.
If I'm correct, Cade McNamara is the first quarterback Jim has ever brought to Big Ten Media Days.
That is correct, yes.
So that says a lot right there. But, of course, the way Jim handled it didn't surprise me. He's not gonna show his hand. He said Cade would be the starting quarterback for the first spring or fall practice.
Yeah.
That doesn't really tell you anything, right? Then he said that JJ would have ample opportunity to show what he has as well. He's not going to probably tell anything until game one. But I believe whoever starts the year is the more deserving quarterback.
And you know what? They're both going to play. And I think that's they found a good way to make it work last year. As long as they're not getting a quarterback completely out of rhythm, I think that's fine. Maybe you have a situation where, you know, some series one guy comes in, another comes in, depending on what you want to do offensively. That's things that they're going to have to work out. The good news is the schedule is very amenable to that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, so for Trent Noop, I am Isaiah Hole. Thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you again on Wednesday. Peace.